Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We got Paul Savage in. We'll get Brandon in a little bit. TJ not going to join us today, but we do have his picks. So we'll get those in for him. We got the full gang here, but Jad has some bad news apparently for all of us. Jad, what have you been so scared, or should I say eager, to tell us about?
Oh, good.
Well, it's not scared. I have no problems telling you guys how bad you did last week. It's actually making me kind of happy. Jacob?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That says a lot about our friendship, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It means it's a good friendship.
Well, Jacob, you won the week, so congratulations.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, you won the week with by breaking even, 3-3.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Win's a win, baby.
Yeah, so that's how you won the week. You went 3-3, and that works out for you, but pretty much everyone else just did terribly. So, Tommy, 0-6.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, congratulations. No win.
Wow, we thought that was history the last time we saw it.
Well, okay, in my defense, that was
some habitual.
In my defense, that was 0-10 last year. We picked 10 games back then. 0-6 is a little bit easier to accomplish, and I was 6-0.
Anybody can go 0-6.
I was 6-0 a couple of weeks ago, so I just canceled it out. It's okay.
Yeah. Now, Paul, you went 1-5. So you didn't do a whole lot better. So your lead comes down just a little bit. TJ also 1-5. Brandon, second place of the week, 2-4. Congratulations.
2-4, second place. How pathetic are we? We are.
I told you
so...
I was bringing you down with me, Paul, and I surpassed you.
There you go.
There
you go. All right. Well, Jad hit it. Let's make our picks here today. We got 3 college and 3 NFL. And we are going to get right to it. And we're going to start with perhaps the game of the week in college football. Georgia at Ole Miss. Ole Miss getting, this is a theme here today, especially in college. Ole Miss getting 3 points at home. I won the week last week, so I will go first. And I will take Georgia. I like Ole Miss. I really hope Ole Miss wins this game. I'd love to see them win this game. Georgia's one of those teams where, yeah, maybe they fall, stumble once. I think Georgia's pretty good here. I like this bet quite a bit in reality. I'll lay the points on the road. I'll take Georgia. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, the notes that I took on my napkin at my local coffee shop this morning tell me that Lane Kiffin at home with how bad Carson Beck has played of late. I like Ole Miss with the points at home. I think this is one that we're going to see it go under the total. And that just means that I have more opportunities for a cover. Give me Ole Miss plus 3.
Tommy?
I'm kind of with you, Jacob. I mean, I'm a believer in Georgia, and it's not a knock on Ole Miss. I like what Lane Kiffin has done. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think that Georgia is getting the kind of attention and respect that they deserve for a team that has been national champions. And so I'm going to roll with Kirby Smart in this game as the favorites. It's not a big enough spread for me to want to take points in this matchup against Georgia. So I'm with you. I'm going to take the Bulldogs and lay the points.
TJ is also taking Ole Miss and those points. Paul, what do you think?
Well, you know something, I look at Ole Miss and I think to myself, there's not very many more teams in all of the NCAA, guys, that runs better at receiver. Would you guys agree with that? They might be as good, as fast as anybody in the entire college football world today. But on the other hand, George is an awful physical football team. We've watched him, and we've watched him earlier in the year. They're so physical up front. And when it comes down to fast versus physical, fast is good. And I take fast under certain circumstances. But when a team is so physical as Georgia, how can you not take Georgia? Fellas, I'm taking Georgia.
All right, so it's 3-2. That one a pretty even split. Now another one in the same kickoff window. Iowa State at Kansas plus 3. That's right. It's just 3 points. Kansas getting 3 points at home, Tommy. You buy in any of this for KU coming out of a bye week?
I typically wouldn't at all, but I mean, Iowa State really was disappointing a week ago. They had an opportunity to really, you know, outside of BYU, be the dominant team in the Big 12, and to create even more separation. I know Colorado was right there too, but that was it. That was their chance, and they weren't able to capitalize on that. That's why I think this line is where it is. I'm not a big believer in KU because of the way this season has gone for them, but they can play spoiler. They can continue to, you know, beat on the Cyclones while they're down. Give me Kansas. I'm going to take the points. It's probably not going to turn out that way, but I kind of like the points in this game.
Paul, what do you think here? Iowa State coming off the loss, KU coming off the bye. You 3 points, I know, on the surface. People probably, you know, perk their ears at that. Are you taking Iowa State, or do you like the Jayhawks?
Does Iowa State still have something to play for, fellas?
Of course they do.
They do. It's obvious to me. You know, sometimes this kind of beats a team down. You know, a loss like that beats a team down. But I don't think it beats this team down. I'm taking Iowa State.
Brandon, what do you think on this one? It's one of the more curious lines of the week to me, but where are you at with it?
I've picked Kansas a lot this year, and that has not paid off by their record and by my record. I like Iowa State, the ability to bounce back in their last 7 road games. They are 7-0 straight up and against the spread. I don't even know how much of a road game this is going to be. I mean, Iowa State fans travel. It's at Arrowhead. It's probably going to be 15,000 KU fans there. There's going to be maybe even more for Iowa State, giving the Cyclones fans.
So I think I just have some thing against Iowa State. I don't know what it is or why it is. I was really eager and excited to get like a big old fat money line opportunity with KU this weekend. I've liked KU in this game for a while, quite honestly. 3 points. I really wish it was more. I thought it would be more, but I was going to take them on the money line anyway. I think they can beat Iowa State. I've been looking at this one for 3 weeks, basically since Jalen Daniels started playing better. I like KU in this game. I'm going to take the 3 points. I'll take the Jayhawks, and TJ will too. Okay. Isn't that interesting?
That is. I did not see this coming.
More people are taking KU in that game. I didn't see that coming either. All right, let's go Bama at LSU. LSU plus 3. I think there's this narrative that LSU's not that good this year. Their record says they're pretty good. Brandon, do you think they can win at home or at least cover the spread against Bama?
Interesting spot, because I think Bama is coming off a bye, if I'm right. But under Brian Kelly at home at night, LSU 13-0. I like their ability to get it done this week. I think it might be a lower scoring one again. Give me LSU in the points.
Tommy, what do you think here?
Oh, man. You know, I think that some of the deciding factors on this will be the fact that Alabama is coming off of a bye. But Alabama's been so up and down where, you know, on the one hand, they had a couple of really huge marquee wins. But then there were a couple games, too, that just they kind of laid an egg. And so it's up and down. Kalen DeBoer, I think, will be a lot more consistent as he continues on as the Alabama head coach. But even though they're coming off a bye, I think I'm going to agree with Brandon and jump on the LSU train.
It's interesting. This is not Nick Saban, right? This is Kalen DeBoer. And I think sometimes with Bama, we forget that. You know, it's still fresh. I agree with you guys. I think LSU is, for some reason, like people just think they're not having a good year, but they're having a pretty good year. And things are out there in front of them. And they're at home in that spot in prime time with points against an F, you know, by Alabama standards, they're flawed. So I'll take LSU too. TJ's going to take Bama. Paul, are you going to give TJ that island, or are you going to take LSU with the rest, or are you going to join him with Bama?
Dang! Listen, is Bama interested in being in the playoffs? Can they still be in the playoffs?
The
answer is
so,
yes.
So can LSU, by the way.
So do you have something to play for? The answer again is yes.
And both teams do.
Yeah, but yeah. LSU.
LSU wants to make the playoffs, too.
Well, I get that. But the point that I'm making is that Bama's been there. Bama's got a statement to make.
So is LSU. I mean, they've both been there.
Oh, my gosh. I can't seem to get my point over, can I? Evidently, they're not very good points. But my point is that Alabama, I think because of the changing of the head coaches, they really have something to play for. I think it's just one of those deals where I think, and I never know just exactly how LSU is going to play. They can play sloppy. Now, they win a lot of games. They play sloppy and uninspired. But I'm taking Bama. I think For the college games, that might be the easiest game to pick, Bama over LSU. Although it is at home, and that scares me. Playing it in LSU at night is a tough deal.
yeah, it's you know, the family and all of that.
That's right.
It's a tough spot for both. I think both of these teams are wildly unpredictable. I disagree. I think it might be the hardest game to pick this week. All right, let's go to Pittsburgh at Washington as we move on to the NFL. Some of my favorite games of the week. Two teams, I think, with the arrows pointed way up. Two teams that are very different in the way they go about things. I think it's my turn to go first. I'll take Pittsburgh. Tommy knows, and you guys might know, I'm pretty high on the Steelers. I think this is a great opportunity for them to do something, and they're getting points. It's not a lot of points, but it's 2.5 points. I think they're going to win the game anyway, so I'll take the Steelers and feel pretty happy about it. Tommy?
I knew that you were going to pick the Steelers, and that's sure. Okay. I understand why. I will concede that this will be the best defense that Jaden Daniels has faced so far in his young career in the NFL. And I think that defensively, Mike Tomlin will absolutely throw some curveballs at Jaden Daniels. It's the biggest test for him, but it's also the biggest opportunity to show that he has arrived. I think that the Commanders have been one of, if not the most exciting team in the NFL. They are on a collision course with the division title in the NFC East. Because of that, and knowing that the number is under a field goal, I'm going to go with the Commanders at home. I'm going to lay the 2.5. I think that even though the Steelers will provide a big test for Jaden Daniels, I think the Commanders will win at home by at least a field goal.
Mr. Savage,
yes.
Where do you stand with this one?
Well, this is an interesting game, and when I decide to take Pittsburgh, a lot of it will be because, you know, of Coach Tomlin. Let's just face it, he's really, if not the best, one of the best coaches in the NFL, and he always gets the job done. Daniels is still a kid, still a boy, still young, still wet behind the ears. He's still very naive when it comes to NFL football. He's going to get there, and I make the prediction he might end up being one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in a generation, and I think that's a real possibility, but that's not it right now. You're going to get, when you have a young quarterback like this, guys, what do? You get pass rush on it. You design some blitzes. You do some stunts. You do some things up front to get pressure on the quarterback. Flush him out. Get him running. Get him to throw on the run. Although he throws well on the run, but you get him out of the pocket, and then you chase him down and tackle him. That's what you do. I think this is going to be a situation where Pittsburgh is so smart, so wise, they know what they're doing, that they will be able to do things to this young quarterback that he hasn't really seen a lot. And I'm predicting Pittsburgh wins by 10.
I don't think Lattimore will be a factor in this game. They certainly need him. TJ's taking Washington. It's interesting, Brandon, with Washington. If you remember how they beat Chicago, and I don't want to call it lucky, but I'll call it lucky. Their best win of the year is the Bengals right now. They've beaten up on a lot of bad teams. And so this is their biggest test of the year. Like, this is it for them. This is really that test. Do you think they step up, or do you think the Steelers are too much? I think we got you muted there, Brandon.
Yeah, looks like we don't have him.
Yeah, we've got your video there, Brandon. I don't know. We'll try it again there. Try again, Brandon. Nope, we don't have Brandon. Brandon can reconnect here, or we'll try to figure that out. I'm not sure why that happened. But anywho, we'll get Brandon's pick. Brandon, blink once if you're picking Pittsburgh, twice if you're picking Washington.
Adjust that
Pittsburgh.
Away.
Pittsburgh, he takes okay. the Steelers. Pittsburgh. He takes the Steelers. Okay. Good. We got the Steelers for Brandon. So we've got.
Oh, I think we got
there
him
back. There we go. Now we got you. Now we
what?
Got you.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you read my notes. They beat the Bengals, the Cardinals, the Browns, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Giants twice this year. Pittsburgh's coming off of a bye. I really like Pittsburgh in this spot. Probably outright. Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to money line it, if not tease it up. I may lay some points with Pittsburgh to try and get some better odds. I think this is a really tough spot for Daniels, and I cannot wait to see him and how he responds to it. He is such a fun young player. All right, let's go on then to the Chiefs and the Broncos. The Chiefs, 7.5-point favorites at home. Tommy, I believe you're up first. What do you like with this one?
Man, this one is tough because I've picked the Chiefs each of the last 2 weeks. They haven't covered the number the last 2 weeks. And of course, last week was a really big spread that they weren't able to cover. And so they started off the year really good covering, haven't done it in the last couple of weeks. Denver we talked a lot this week about what happened against Baltimore a week ago when on paper they had the same record and looked like it was going to be a good matchup and they just got thumped by the Ravens. Is it going to be that kind of a deficit for Denver this week against Kansas City inside Arrowhead? Probably not, but I still think that it could be a fairly large deficit. So even though the Chiefs haven't covered in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to lay the 7.5 for Kansas City. I think they can win by 2 touchdowns. It's not going to be a blowout like the Baltimore game was a week ago because I like Denver's defense against what Kansas City can do, but I just think that the Chiefs will overpower them. So I'm going to take Kansas City and I'll lay the 7.5.
This is turning into one of my favorite bets of the week. I actually really like Kansas City in this game. I think that they can run the ball on Denver if that's what they choose to do. Sertan is an absolute weapon and a problem, but he can't guard Kelce and Hopkins. And again, we've pointed this out, it's a Worthy game. I feel like Worthy's going to make a big play or two in this game. I just think it's a really good matchup for Kansas City. So I've got no problem with 7.5. I wish it was 7. I wish it was 6.5, but it's 7.5, but I'm still good with it. Brandon, what do you think?
I'm here. The Chiefs coming off of Monday Night Football, a little bit of a shorter week, noon game, something we haven't seen out of the Chiefs all season long. I think I'm just taking Denver with the backdoor potential here. Nothing else. Maybe I get a late touchdown. Maybe I get a late field goal. Give me Denver plus 7.5.
Paul, the other reason for me is, what does Bo Nix do against a really good defense
right.
in Kansas City? He has flashed in a couple of games this year. They've been against bad teams. Gets good teams. He struggled a little bit, as rookies do. Do you think Denver covers that number? More than a touchdown.
Yeah, let me answer that question. In a couple of years, yes. The answer would be yes. I think he handles that. Once he gets some experience, gets some time in the league, understands the players in the league, the answer would be yes to that question. Aha! But that's not now. Now he's a rookie. Now he's still learning. He doesn't have it down yet. He doesn't know everything he needs to know about how to be successful in the NFL. So with the answer being no, I also am going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. And I kind of appreciate Brendan taking Denver. Because let me tell you this. If he hadn't and there was an island left to take, I would have taken Denver. But since
there's no island. TJ's also taken
Denver. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
so
gotcha.
No island there.
I got you. All right.
Brandon, we're not picking the Vikings. I hope you got them before the Trevor Lawrence news, because I think I got them somewhere at like 4 points against the Jaguars. But that's not the game we're picking. We're picking Detroit, and Houston. The Houston Texans, if I'd told you this at the beginning of the year, you'd have called me crazy. Houston Texans are getting a 3.5-point spread. They're getting 3.5 at home against the Lions, who've been, of course, beating everybody by 1,000 points. Brandon, what do you think here?
I think just Detroit is the most impressive team that we've seen in the league this year. I mean, just how they can attack you multiple ways. And Houston has the worst pass defense in the NFL. They give up the most passing touchdowns, 2.1 per game. And I think Jared Goff is going to be able to feast on that. I think it's going to be a big, big Jahmyr Gibbs game. And I wouldn't be surprised if I was on the Lions last week in Lambeau. We saw what happened there. I think they could go in and make another statement on that turf down there. This is a fast, fast team. I like the Lions, and I think it's going to be big this weekend. Give me the Detroit.
TJ also taking Detroit. Paul, I'm going to put some words in your mouth. You tell me how far off I am.
All right.
Here's Paul's pick. Have the Detroit Lions been on Hard Knocks?
Have the
Houston Texans been on Hard Knocks?
Give me the Lions.
I'll take the Lions.
That's horrible. I can't believe you did that to me.
It's the truth, though.
But the Lions have been on Hard Knocks, and I've really enjoyed their episodes on Hard Knocks. I'm taking Detroit.
I knew it. Tommy, what do you think here? Let me do this, because I know you love the Texans. I'm going to take Detroit, as much as I don't want to lay those points on the road. I'm going to take Detroit because I just think Houston right now, I think they may be getting Nico Collins back.
It is up in the air. They have not designated him to return from injured reserve as of now. It's going to be a question of if he practices in any capacity today. He didn't on Wednesday or Thursday. If he doesn't practice today, it's probably unlikely.
I love the arrow of the Texans in general. I think by the end of this season, they'll be back to what we thought they were. I don't think it's this week. I'm going to take the Lions because I'm sick of guessing it when this wears off. It doesn't look like it will. So I'm going to give you the opportunity, Tommy, for your Texans on an island here.
Well, I mean, the Texans desperately need Nico Collins back. And I'm with you. I generally love the Texans. And C.J. Stroud has had a little bit of a drop-off statistically in his sophomore season, but that's due in large part to Nico Collins and Steph Diggs, you know, basically losing them. They desperately need Nico back. Tank Dell is fine, but he's basically been it. And I was disappointed that the Texans couldn't go out and acquire another wide receiver at the deadline because I thought they really needed to do that. On the flip side, the Lions went out and acquired Za'Darius Smith. And I think that because of that, they are all in for sure. And that's going to allow them to really limit what Joe Mixon can do. And Mixon has been the key contributor offensively for the Texans recently. Had the Lions not went out and got Smith, it would have been a lot easier for me to take that island. I don't think I can. I think I'm going to make it a clean sweep. As much as I like Houston, I'm going to make it a clean sweep and say Detroit.
All right. Well, saw Hard Knocks, didn't you?
I did not watch Hard Knocks. No.
I'm surprised, honestly, that it's only 3.5 points.
Yeah.
The way both teams have, and maybe if Nico Collins doesn't play, it gets wider. But I put that in there because I thought it was an interesting, and it's two teams that, you know, look really good and are going to be in the postseason. That's it, fellas. That's six games.
Let's do it.
That is six games in the books. Brandon, I'll see you later tonight. Calling in I said I'm like the Chiefs wide receiver room. You're down to the fifth string, and I'll be there with you. We'll talk some high school football tonight.
Yeah, try another big week two of high school football playoffs. We'll be on the Catch It Show, 10:35 on the CW. Myself and Jacob Albrock. So
all right. Kicking it old school.
Let's do it. I'll see you then.
Don't forget that big victory by the East High Aces last night.
That's
now,
true,
Brandon. Come on, you got to get that mentioned.
Take that chance right now, because I was going to give you that chance. East High over Dodge. That's it. And you guys came back to win that game.
Came back. 10 seconds left on the clock. A 36-yard pass into the end zone. Score on the last play. Well, the next to the last play of the game to win the game. It was a heck of a hard-fought game in a driving rainstorm. I thought we went out there to avoid the rain. Instead, we went out there to get soaked by the rain.
And word on the street is that was a play design written up by Paul Savage. I wish
I was that smart.
Hey, Brandon, I want to throw something out at you. So Jacob referenced again that it's like the Chiefs wide receiver room, and he's getting called in to help out, you know, the receiving core. Does that make him DeAndre Hopkins in your mind?
The old guy
coming in to rescue the young guys.
Travis Kelce, I just show up every single week. If he wants to be, maybe it's a Justin Ross week.
I'll try to not be Sky Moore. That's the promise I'll make to the listeners and the viewers out there. I'll just do my best to not be Sky Moore. So there it is. We'll see you at football tonight. CatchItKansas.com. Catch It Kansas app. We'll have it all covered. It is the playoffs. It's the second week of the playoffs. We'll take the rain and all the chaos it's brought because we need the rain. But Brandon, we'll talk later, and we'll see everybody with Brandon later tonight on the KSCW at 10:35. All right, let's take a quick break here. Paul, you stick around. We're going to talk a little bit more about everything else going on. We can revisit Thursday Night Football. We talked about KU. We have scratched the surface with Chiefs Broncos. We can certainly get more into that. But a lot to cover here in our final segments of Sports Daily. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Just because it's 4 o'clock.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on this Friday edition. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage sticking around here for us in hour number two. We got through Thursday Night Football. Lamar Jackson is incredible. I think this is going to be a really interesting MVP race this year because of, I think, maybe a little more. We've got some quarterbacks separating themselves. Lamar Jackson, leader in the clubhouse, I think is fair. Jared Goff and what he's doing is certainly in the mix. Derrick Henry has fallen a little bit down. His pace has settled in a little bit. Joe Burrow won't have enough wins, but his numbers are going to be incredible. But the guy that's not being mentioned in the MVP conversation that I think will be there by the time this season clears is Patrick Mahomes.
What's going on?
Patrick Mahomes. But Mahomes is hit the last few weeks now with D-Hop and what you saw there and knowing that they're getting a little healthier and Pacheco's going to be back and all of these things and Kelsey's a, I think there's a real fine chance that Mahomes is going to climb into that conversation. Right now, we could say that the Chiefs have the unbeaten thing happening, which should probably be elevating him in the conversation at least a little bit. But Tommy, are we sleeping on Mahomes at all this year because of the start they got off to?
Well, I think it's going to depend, honestly, upon the way the next several games pan out, obviously. I mean, I know that's a really obvious answer, but his touchdown to interception ratio is not great, and I think that's going to ultimately hurt him. He's thrown 9 interceptions through the first 8 games, but the last 2 games, it's really he's really kind of turned that around because he's gone 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, and that's really helped things out and get it back, you know, to where it needs to be. 11 TDs, 9 interceptions. He's got to limit the turnovers in the remaining games. He's not throwing for a ton of yards this year. He's only thrown for over 300 yards in 1 game so far this season, and that was the Monday night game against the Saints where he didn't have a touchdown thrown, by the way. So I think that that's going to be part of it. However, he does have a higher completion percentage than he has had in any season in his career so far, at almost 70%. So I think that will play into it as well. The lowest quarterback rating, though, as of right now. So he's got to, you know, limit the turnovers, turn things around a little bit more. And sure, I think that he's not out of the question, but it's going to come down to, do a couple of these other guys drop off a little bit, and is he able to really limit those turnovers?
He is nowhere, Paul, near the top of the list by quarterback rating, like not even close. And he's still, I just checked, he's still the third odds on favorite to win it. But Mahomes, you never get Mahomes at 5-1. I think for me, it's more about, And it will take a couple. It'll take Lamar Jackson coming back down to earth, because if he keeps this going, nobody's going to touch him. But I do think, like, we're only halfway through this. We're not even halfway through the season, right? We're only 8-0 here. There's still 9 games for Mahomes, who looks more comfortable throwing the ball, who may get some big play, you know, increases in his stats just either by Hopkins being there or Worthy, you know, stepping more into that role. I just think there's enough room still with less than half the games being played for the stats to get padded. If they keep winning these games and we look back at all the great teams they have beaten already and could beat this year, it's going to be hard to at least not make the case. But again, it does take, don't you think, Paul, Lamar Jackson coming back down to earth? Because right now, with what Lamar Jackson's doing, like, nobody's catching Lamar Jackson.
Right.
His touchdown to interception ratio is one of the stupidest things we've ever seen. 24-2?
Mm-hmm.
24-2? Mm-hmm. And he runs, and his completion percentage is the same, and he's got, you know, 700 more yards. He's played another game than Mahomes, but like, it'll take him coming down. But Mahomes at 5-1 ain't a bad bet.
Define MVP for me, because here's my question. Is it MVP in accordance with all the other great players in the league? Or is it to that player that means the most to their team? Or is it, you know, there's a lot of things. And the problem with Lamar Jackson is they lost games that, quite frankly, I shake my head and I think to myself, how did I actually lose that game? They've lost some games they shouldn't have. And then I look at the Ravens and I think to myself, well, they got a running back that's changed this team dramatically. I mean, Derrick Henry has made a huge difference. So the word MVPs, or the words strung together, MVP, I look at that and I think to myself, but there's not a player that is more valuable to their team than Patrick Mahomes. Because right now the Ravens have somebody else that they can count on, and that's Derrick Henry. I'm not so sure that the Chiefs have that. This is basically a Patrick Mahomes team, unless you want to count Kelsey. But, I mean, you know, he's having a so-so year. So I guess I have to ask you guys, how do you define MVP?
Well, I would say this. Lamar Jackson in the 3 losses was really good to great in all 3 of the losses. He's not the reason they lost any of those games. Their defense is. I would also really need to think about the question, Tommy, that Paul, and it's the question most people ask with MVP, if you took that player away. Because I would tell you this about the Chiefs. You have a much better defense than the Ravens. They have a very effective ground game. They have Kelsey. They have, you know, the great offensive mind of his generation. I don't know that that's an easy question to answer. If you took that player away, which team would be more okay? I think the Chiefs surrounding cast outside, I mean, Derrick Henry's there, but all in total, when you consider the defense, I think the Chiefs would maybe have a better chance to win if Mahomes had to miss a game. I that's a hard question. I don't know. I'd really have to think about that.
Well, I mean, and I think you also have to, if you're going to open that door, then you also have to look at who are the guys behind the starting quarterbacks. And
sure,
you're talking about Carson Wentz for the Chiefs, and then you're talking about Josh Johnson for the Ravens. I think Carson Wentz has a leg up for sure. So, I mean, I think that will obviously play a role in that too. And, you know, Josh Johnson has been around forever. And so I don't know. I mean, I think that you would give the nod to Kansas City just based on who would be filling in for either one of those guys if they were out. But it's interesting because the Chiefs have, and they have rebuilt their offensive weapons with guys like Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins. They've been able to make it work, and they're going to continue, I think, to get better offensively, especially with the return of Isaiah Pacheco, probably in the next couple of weeks or so. So I think that offense is clearly continuing to improve, while Baltimore's is there. Like, Baltimore's will absolutely come up and punch you in the face right away. That's what they've done all year. It's been their calling card. But that's also due in large part to Lamar Jackson. I don't think that you can discount the impact of Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry has added a new wrinkle to that offense they didn't have before. But the straw that stirs the drink is Lamar Jackson. It is his offense. It is his team. And if you watched the game last night, I mean, it was him basically saying, I'm not going to let this team lose. We're down by two scores. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make it work. And the offensive line wasn't very good last night for Baltimore either. And he's hurt. Yeah. So, like, all those things in place, to me, it reminds me of Patrick Mahomes and the sheer will to lead his team to victory. That's what Lamar Jackson has done.
Words out of my mouth. That is the thing he's developed, I think, in the last 3 or 4 years that people wondered about early on. Is like, yes, he flashes, but whatever that thing is, you know, that Brady had, that Mahomes clearly has, does he have that? And I think the answer is, yeah, I think he does now, because it is his will. Last night felt like a classic Chiefs game where if you're the opposition, you just shake your head at, like, how did we lose that game? And you just look over and you're like, oh, because Patrick Mahomes is there, right? That's the part of Lamar's game that is just exploding in the last couple of years. The Ravens, Paul, would have been able to run the ball. I mean, the Ravens have always run the ball, even before they had Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's icing on that cake. Derrick Henry helps them in the postseason, I think, as much as anything else. But it's not like the Ravens had a bad running game before he got there. They've always been able to run the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I am so blown away by the player Lamar Jackson has become, and I love it so much because of him negotiating that contract, the perception around that. Couldn't find a team to take him. Like, he never has to outright say it himself, but the middle finger to the rest of the league for doubting him, you love it. You just love it. And he is so impressive and fun to watch.
Did you catch, by the way, and I know that, sorry to step on.
No problem.
Did you catch the moment in the game last night when Jamar Chase was kind of dancing his way to, you know, cross the goal line on one of those touchdown catches you know, late in the game? I think it was late in the game, I believe, in the fourth quarter.
Oh, maybe it wasn't. Yeah.
And he was, like, just standing, you know, inside the 1 yard line, wouldn't, like, cross into the goal line. It finally did. He took, like, 10 seconds off the clock just standing there before he would go, you know, get a touchdown. Then the camera cuts to Lamar on the sideline, and he's pissed. Like, you, and I don't know if it was because of that necessarily, but that's at least, you know, the vibe that I got from it. And then it's like, man, that was probably a mistake. In the same way that you don't want to do that to Mahomes, because Mahomes will make you pay for it. Lamar picked up on that, and here come the Ravens.
Lamar was probably also mad that they gave up another bomb to Jamar Chase.
100%.
But he is getting that, and that's what – I don't think he lacked it before, but there is a point in this league with quarterbacks, Paul, that it feels like they hit that next level, and very few of them do it. And then it's like chess versus checkers, right? And you know, we know the guys that have it. Mahomes obviously has it. Josh Allen has had it. I think Burrow has had it. I don't want to forget anybody here that has that. Aaron Rodgers certainly had that at a younger age of quarterbacks that are still in the league. Lamar Jackson has that now, where it looks like whatever that final step is to, you know, to reach that upper echelon tier. He's there this year. I mean, it's just these numbers are stupid. These numbers are ridiculous. It's like some of the best Mahomes passing seasons plus a Lamar Jackson running season all combined into one.
You use the word chess. That's a good word because the great chess masters of the world, what do they? They know what's going to go on two, three, four, five, six steps ahead, don't they? That's how a great chess master works. That's the way the great ones like a Patrick Mahomes operates. That's like, go back over the course of history and just look at some of the great quarterbacks, the Farbs of the world, the Bradys of the world. You know, look at some of those guys, and even go back even further if you want to go. You know, the Unitases of the world, the Stars of the world. They weren't even the great quarterbacks of today, but boy, could they read a chessboard, and they knew it was coming. They knew. In other words, the days of taking Patrick Mahomes and say, well, we're going to line up and cover three, and then we're going to drop a safety and go to cover two or whatever. You know, those days are really kind of over because they see it, they know it's coming, they know they feel it, and it's so hard to hide it from them. That's what makes them chess masters and not just a regular checkers player.
He's there. One of my favorite players, and I'm happy that he's able to do this now. And he's always been able to do it, but it does feel like he's in a different world this year. Let's come back. Let's talk about the Chiefs-Broncos. What do we think stylistically? What bets do we like in this game? Let's go to that when we return. Chiefs-Broncos, that's next on Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Jake Ball, Brock, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Chad Chambers producing for us. The IHOP hotline is back open. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. That number is 869-1240. Let's talk a little Chiefs-Broncos here, fellas. You know, looking at this game, the only reservation I have in this game is the short week and the early kick. That's it. But it's at home. And I got to tell you, Tommy, like I think this is a, I don't want to call it a smash spot for the Chiefs, but I think they have a pretty good chance to beat Denver handily. I'll tell you what I like in the game. I love Xavier Worthy over 31.5 receiving yards. Love it. I love Kareem Hunt over his 71.5 rushing yards. The other ones that I like are putting Denver's team total under like 18.5 and teasing up the Chiefs to lay 9.5. That gets you 5-1 right now at BetMGM. I like that bet. I'll probably make that bet. The other one that is in there is if you put a Worthy touchdown with it, it goes up to like 11-1. So I may kind of, they call it ladder bets. I may ladder a Worthy touchdown in on a separate bet. I think there are some clear things, and I think this is an absolutely dreadful matchup for Denver. What do the Chiefs struggle with, Tommy? Tight end defense?
Yeah.
Broncos basically don't have one.
Yeah.
What do they do well? They run the ball. Nobody runs the ball on the Chiefs.
Yep.
I think this is a terrible matchup for Denver.
Yeah, I think that really for me, this is a huge opportunity for Xavier Worthy, and I know you talked a little bit as to why. I think part of the reason is that this is a rare occasion for the Chiefs where they play a noon home game. And that just doesn't happen with the Chiefs being just the primetime draw that they are. And, you know, for a rookie, and we talked all week long about the struggles of Xavier Worthy and growing into his role, this kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off. You're not on national TV in primetime. He's got now DeAndre Hopkins out there with him to help take some of the pressure off. Hopkins has gotten significantly more comfortable in the offense with Kansas City. You've got the top defensive back for Denver and Patrick Surtain more than likely covering DeAndre Hopkins. And I think this is going to be an opportunity where the pressure can be off of Xavier Worthy. I think Patrick Mahomes knows that. As we talked about, Mahomes likes to try to feed the guy that maybe has had the criticism, you know, earlier in a week. This is a big spot for Xavier Worthy to really show out and show that he's making those strides. If he doesn't, then yeah, I think at that point, yeah, like we can have a little bit more of a conversation about what's happening with Worthy, but I think there's a huge opportunity for him.
The other one that I would look at, and I just wasn't available when I was just looking, is Kelce over his receptions. You know, if it's like 5.5, which is where it usually is, I do think this is a game where Kelce could catch just a lot of passes. I don't know about yards for Kelce, but catches in general, I'd like. Paul, you picked Kansas City, Paul? I can't remember who you picked.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
What is the path here for Denver? Because I can't find it. I can't find the path for Denver to be good. In the, I guess their defense muddying this up so badly. But, man, I just feel like Mahomes is playing much better right now. And it seems so unlikely. But, like, offensively, I don't see what their path is to just move the ball and score a lot of points on Kansas City. It's going to take Kansas City mistakes.
Yeah, the path is very simple. Keep Kansas City on the sidelines. Don't let their offense out on the field. Run the football. Run time. There's something that they can do.
Can they do that?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Kansas City's got a good run defense. That's why we like the Chiefs. But Bo Nix can run. I will say this. Bo Nix can run. And the Chiefs have struggled against running quarterbacks historically. And Bo Nix can run. So maybe the path to your point in time of possession is for Bo Nix to be picking up first downs with his legs. I guess that would be a pretty big danger.
However you want to do it, however you want to frame it, I got you. That's fine with me. Multiple ways that you can do it. But come off the line, move the chains, and keep the clock running. You want to have a chance in this football game, you keep Patrick Mahomes and the offense off the field. It's pretty simple for me. Partly because, and the reason I say this, and of course nothing's as easy as we say in the NFL, for guys' sakes, nothing is easy. But the reason I say that is because, quite frankly, the Denver Broncos aren't the football team that the Kansas City Chiefs are. You can't let the Kansas City Chiefs touch the football, possess the football for long amounts of time, and run the football and control the football and keep your defense out on the field. The whole key is to keep somebody's defense out on the field playing long stretches of time. And so you asked me, Jacob, the initial question was, what's their course? How can they do this? That's it. Keep the offense off the field, control the football, and keep the clock running. That's it. I don't see another path.
The Chiefs have won a lot of really – you know, this may surprise people, but the only game the Chiefs have won by more than a touchdown was the San Francisco game.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only game this year that has been more than a touchdown.
But you know what? Like, up until the last couple of weeks, they had covered the spread in every game but one leading up to the Raiders game and then, the game against the Buccaneers. So they've been pretty good at covering the number even when it's been pretty close outside of the last couple of weeks. So even though they haven't had a whole bunch of double-digit wins, they've still done what they've needed to do.
And I do think there's a different, you know, because the Chiefs have always been capable of like that dud where you're just like, what was that? The Colts game a couple of years ago is the one that really stands out. We're like,
the Raiders on Christmas. That's the biggest one that stands out to me.
But last year they were struggling, right? Sure. But when they're good and they lose one, but man, 8-0, Dan Israel doesn't think they care about 8-0, 9-0. They're going to start, if they keep winning, they're going to start caring about being undefeated, I think. That's just in Mahomes and Kelce's DNA. So I think the likelihood of that dud game, maybe Denver can go out and do something, that's fine. I love the Chiefs in this game. And by the way, Nick's rushing yards, maybe that's one I'll throw into my parlay as well. We'll come back, we'll tell you what's on the network. It is a busy, busy weekend here. We'll tell you all about it next.